Coming up next, I have never traveled with this gentleman, but damn, I wish that I had. Maybe I will one day. He's had some great travel stories on this stage. I want to hear another one from Chris Crotwell. Yeah!
Made him sound like Guy Fieri. When I was in college, my brother got divorced, and I've been really close to his wife, and that really bothered me because she didn't text or call. I never got a letter. She ghosted, right? She disappeared. I didn't know for years that that had bothered me. It's funny how sometimes you don't realize the impact an event or a moment has had for half a decade or more. And you might know, you might not understand why it had that impact for another 5-6 years, or you might never. That Christmas, my brother didn't want to go home, right? He did not want to go back and just hang out with me, mom, and dad. And I didn't understand that completely at the time. I do now. He needed to hit the road. He needed to go on an adventure. And the person he asked to go with him was me. And I didn't realize how important or meaningful that would be to me later in my life until much, much later. So we decided that I would drive the 12 hours from Tuscaloosa, Alabama to Austin, Texas, and then we would drive to Albuquerque and then Santa Fe, New Mexico. A journey which starts in West Texas, which I don't know if you know this, but it's just an abattoir and a cowboy hat. And it fucking reeks, which is not a great way to start the trip. Is just like several hundred miles of stink that makes you worry about beef and whether or not you should keep eating it. But once you get out of West Texas, you just hit these miles and miles of dead straight nothing. And it's beautiful. You have mesas and shit way out on the horizon. And you'll be on a road for 2.5 hours and realize that if you look backwards, you can see the point where you were 2.5 hours ago disappearing over the horizon in a dead straight line. And that was amazing. And we didn't have a whole lot to say because it was just, I don't think he knew exactly what we were doing, and I didn't know exactly what we were doing, but we were doing something. And in all that emptiness, I think we both understood that it would be important. When we got to Albuquerque, which is just like an enormous, perfect example of what suburban sprawl is, it's just flat wastes of resources for miles in every direction in a place that has no water where that many people should never, ever have lived. And he had a friend out there, so we went to their house. I remember really vividly that her husband was an animator for Nintendo of America, which was a big deal for me at that point. He had done a lot of the triggered events for, like, Metroid, which I was really geeked out about. And what we did at their house to start the trip was we took a bunch of bong rips. It was the first time I'd ever smoked weed with my brother, which felt weird until after the first one. And then, you know, not so much. It didn't take long till we were on the moon. And then we all sat down with his artsy Albuquerque friends and watched Koyaanisqatsi, which, if you haven't seen it, is just like droning ambient music over time-lapse footage of, like, beautiful human events and, like, culture and cities. And it just blew the entire back of my head off. I remember looking at my brother and then looking back at the screen and looking at my brother and being like, something fucking important is happening! This is really important! And we left Albuquerque and we went to Santa Fe. Santa Fe is just adobe buildings and art galleries, and that's like it. Just like tacky rugs everywhere, but it's fantastic. I really like Santa Fe. And what happened in Santa Fe was that we ended up spending the night with a Native American artist who made his career by painting and releasing a series of New Age flute recordings. And he was one of the strangest men I've ever met in my entire life. And my brother decided he loved this guy so much so that he bought a painting right off his wall. He just handed him $300 and said, I want that from your home. And it's not the only time my brother's done that, either. The last time he was in Chicago, he's such a beautiful human being. I love my brother so much. The last time he was in Chicago, we met somebody, a friend of his up here knew, who is a set designer for a lot of plays in town named John Ross Wilson. He's a really cool dude. And he had painted just like a big, he'd painted like a 3.5 fucking foot tall painting of like Voltron. Just this, just robot, right? And my brother just bought it off his goddamn wall. He does stuff like that, and it's incredible. And that was a really special night. And then, you know, we really wanted to cap off the adventure. You know, we wanted to do something we'd never done. We wanted to do something action-packed and exciting. So we decided that we would just go snowboarding. And neither of us had ever been snowboarding, and neither of us had any idea how to snowboard. I mean, I owned one of those all-terrain boards. If you've ever seen one, it's like a big snowboard with big knobbly tires that douchey middle schoolers buy to go grinding down dirt hills in Alabama. So I figured I had it, right? Like, there's no way. I can skateboard. I've got an all-terrain board. How fucking hard could snowboarding be? And it's hard as fucking shit. Snowboarding is impossibly difficult to do if you have no idea what you're doing. And what happens over and over and over again is you get going really, really fast in a straight line. You immediately have a panic attack because you know you have to turn or brake somehow. You try to brake one direction and you think you're fine, and then the front edge of the snowboard bites into the snow and throws you right on your goddamn face at like 32 miles an hour. And everyone riding back up the mountain in those little carts just laughs their asses off. And my brother's 10 years older than I am, and being 10 years older there just about than I was then, I realized that he really must have felt beat to shit. If I was as hurt after that, and we just kept doing it too, and neither of us would admit we couldn't do it. Neither of us got halfway through the day and was like, this is a terrible idea, everything is pain. We're just like, no, we looked at each other and we were like, snowboarding's dope. It's a good time. We'd rented all the equipment, and neither of us was just going to give up. And at the end of the night, at the end of that day, he'd thrown his knee completely out and could barely walk. I had just, like, the entire front of me was just bruise. 3 or 4 days later, I was just, like, I looked like Drax the Destroyer. I was just purple and green all down the front of me. And we head back to the hotel and realize that Santa Fe, it's Christmas Eve now, and Santa Fe is just Adobe buildings and art galleries. Like, I don't think I saw a gas station or a grocery store the entire time we were there. Like, I think people eat paintings. Like, nowhere. We drove and drove and made calls. Everywhere's closed. There's nowhere to eat. So we have to eat in the hotel and end up just having this incredibly subpar and outrageously expensive Christmas dinner together while he just, like, sits with his leg elevated, you know, icing his knee, and I'm just groaning and taking ibuprofen and, like, choking this down, and the next day's Christmas, and we're about to drive back, and I think it might be one of the happiest moments in retrospect I've ever had with my brother. Because he needed a distraction and something to do. And I got to be the person that he picked to do that. And we didn't know what we were doing when we left. And everything we did was sort of dumb. But, you know, beat to shit and smiling is a way that I will always be happy to end a trip with anyone that I love, even if I don't understand how important that was until near a decade later.
Thank you, Chris Cromwell. Oh my gosh. Beats of shit and smiling. Maybe I don't want to go on a trip with you after all. But that sounds lovely.
It keeps happening too. It's still a constant. All right.
One of the reasons I wanted to do this show is so I could kind of take your stories and not the show your stories, but rather your pronoun stories and internalize them on the road. And I'm going to be thinking about that horizon shit when I'm driving through the desert. That's a long drive with nothing to look at but behind you.